We're all set? All right. Okay, let's see. I'm trying to get my papers together, too. We did praise. Realism and repentance. Okay, so we're on four, Roman numeral four. Okay, let's turn to Mark. Mark chapter 1, 14 and 15. Okay, everybody at Mark? Mark 1? Okay, great. Okay, 14, verse 14. Now, after John was put in prison, Jesus came to Galilee, preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel." Now, the synoptic gospels and Acts make at least 20 direct references to the preaching of the gospel of the kingdom, from John the Baptist throughout Jesus' ministry, through the disciples' ministry, during Jesus' ministry in Luke 9, 1 and 2, and throughout Acts. Jesus prophesied the same message shall be taken to the ends of the world. That's found in Matthew 24, 14, commissioning his disciples to do this and promising the Holy Spirit's power for the task. It is clear that the early church proclaimed the same message Jesus preached, that is, the gospel of the kingdom of God. Also, they experienced the same confirming evidence present in his ministry. So part of the kingdom that is referred to here is forgiveness and is repentance. So that's what we're going to talk about this morning, or this afternoon now. So if you open your little your pamphlet, that will be found on page 4. Well, really page 5, but Roman numeral 4. So it's a little bit different. So, our repentance begins with submitting ourselves to the Lord. So that would be the first step, going before the Lord. So we recognize that we want to improve our relationship with God. Repentance means to change our minds. Repentance means to move from where we are in another direction. It's kind of like when you picture the fork in the road and you can go to the right or you can go to the left. It's deciding which way we're going to go, which would be in accordance with what the Lord says in the scriptures and how you feel he is calling you. So repentance does bring about change. I remember, it takes me back in the 70s when I first really came to know Jesus and was filled with the Holy Spirit. I remember being in church and they had an altar call. The pastor said, if anybody has never publicly, and this is the word that got me, publicly, given their hearts to the Lord, I invite you to come up for prayer. And I remember sitting there thinking, publicly, I've never done it publicly. You know, I did it at home when the kids were taking a nap, and I was sitting in the living room, and Herb was at work. But publicly, I never did that. And there was something about that. And now this is, I'm not saying everybody has to do this. I'm just sharing my own experience. There was something about that that made me feel like, I should do this. I should do this. This is important. Because I pictured it as moving from where I was to a different place. That's how I pictured it in my mind. And so I did it. I walked up. And I want to tell you, I felt really awkward. And I felt, I mean, I never done anything like that. I mean, I was a typical Catholic, went 12 years to Catholic school, you know, this was all really new to me, but I felt like it was important to do, so I did it, And you know what? It made a really big difference in my life because I knew it was, for me, it was significant, and I knew it was symbolizing going from where I was to a different place. And I think I see that too when we're talking about here, like with repentance and then receiving the Lord's forgiveness. It takes us from where we are, if that's a place where we're not supposed to be, if it's a sinful place, or a place that is just leading us in the wrong direction. You know, we need to get back on track. So it's like choosing that right direction and moving from where we are to where we need to be. And that's what that evening meant for me in that church many years ago. So it leads to a change of life choices and how we live. For example, if I gossip, then to repent means I see that gossip is not aligned with God's word and plan for how I am going to relate to others. It's not part of his plan. So if we know that that's part of our language and what we do, that's something we need to repent of, but change. We just don't say, well, Lord, I'm sorry, and we receive his forgiveness, but then keep doing it. You know, the idea is to change. The idea is to start speaking in a different way. Does that mean we'll never do it again? No, there are times when we slip and we do things that we'd rather not do. The scripture even talks about that. But we do our best. We do our best not to. And if it happens again, we repent and start over. I repent means I want to change my mind about how I'm using my language about other people. This means I want to live differently with my words. I remember, again, back in the 70s, I smoked cigarettes. When I started smoking cigarettes, there was no warning on it. You know, this was way back, that it was bad or harmful. But you know what? When I came closer to Jesus and received the Holy Spirit, I remember hearing a teaching that my body was a temple of the Holy Spirit. Now, I had heard that in school lots of times, but it didn't really mean anything to me then. But it really meant something to me then. And I thought, I shouldn't be. If my body's a temple of the Holy Spirit, I shouldn't be junking it up with these cigarettes. So I need to stop. So I just made up my mind. I'm not going to smoke again. I remember having a pack of cigarettes in my purse. I remember throwing it in the trash can. And I asked the Lord to take the desire away. And he did. I mean, it was amazing. It was just amazing to me because I enjoyed my cigarettes after dinner and other things. So, he took the desire away and I never smoked again. After that, so many people at that time were smokers that came to church, that came to the prayer meetings and so forth. And you know what? I developed a real ministry in getting people off cigarettes. It was really something because I knew what it was like and I knew what the craving was like and all that. And so I can't tell you how many people that would come. We had like 70 people coming for prayer meeting every Wednesday night. And how many people would come up and say, I want prayer when I get off the cigarettes. And the Lord had led me through this whole thing where I said, you have cigarettes? Yes. We put them on the floor, step on them, and, you know, ask the Lord to take the desire away. And everybody, it was really cool. Everybody was set free of that. Even Herb, because he was smoking too. And that first Christmas, I remember our youngest son, Sean, came to him and said, Daddy, if you die of cancer from smoking these cigarettes, who's going to put up the Christmas lights? And you know, that really spoke to him and got to him. And so we went through the same process, cigarettes on the floor, step on the cigarettes, pray that the desire goes away. And he saw, he was able to quit too. So, you know, the Lord, I guess the reason I share that is that whatever your situation is and whatever needs to be changed. Now, I'm not saying it's a sin to smoke. You know, I didn't see it that way, but I knew it wasn't the best thing for us. And of course, that's been proven scientifically now. So whatever your thing is, whatever it happens to be, you know, nothing's too great for the Lord. And whatever you feel you need to change, you can do it with his help. So repentance is always done in light of the Lord's mercy. The Lord's mercy is great. Lamentations 3:22, it's one of my faves. It says, the mercies of the Lord are new every day, so great is his faithfulness. So every morning when we wake up, he gives us mercy like we've never received it before, like we can't run out of it, like we, no matter how old you are, how much you've been receiving mercy, it's as if you've never received mercy. It's new every day. It's fresh every day. So whatever you need, it's there to overflowing. The mercies of the Lord are new every day. So great is his faithfulness. At the cross, Jesus' shed blood cleanses us. Repentance, some people feel like, is a bummer, but it's a joy because we're getting free of those things that hinder our relationship with God. When you love someone, you change for them. So repentance is much more than asking for forgiveness. It means committing myself to change in the light of the Lord's word so I can build my relationship with the Lord who gave everything for me on the cross. Repentance in a daily way is making adjustments so I can grow more mature in committing to the Lord's purposes for my life in every area of my life. So repentance is part of our prayer time each day. That's a piece of coming before the Lord, you know, asking him to forgive us, naming it, whatever it is that you feel you need to bring before the Lord. There's a wonderful scripture in 1 John 1:9. 1 John 1:9, and it says this, if you confess your sin, he, meaning Jesus, is faithful and just to forgive you and cleanse you of all unrighteousness. Isn't that wonderful? So when we come before the Lord in prayer, you know, each day, as I said, a part of that is to make our confession before the Lord. Ask forgiveness for what we feel we need forgiveness for. But to know as you do that, with an open, honest heart, and with a real desire to change, a real desire not to do it again, then the Lord says, if you confess your sin, I am faithful to you, and I am just, and I will forgive you, and I will cleanse you of all unrighteousness. Isn't that wonderful? Amen. Do I hear any? It is wonderful, guys. It's good news. Good news. Okay. So application. What is my attitude towards repentance? Is it joyful, or do I dread it? So that's something for to really think about, to pray about, and to say, ask yourself. You know, maybe you've never thought about that before. It shouldn't be anything we dread. If you're a person that does dread repenting, you might want to think about how you see the Lord. You know, I can remember a time seeing him as an older man with a long white beard sitting on a big throne, not too approachable. I was St. Thomas More. Yeah, that's we both were at the same school. Yeah, same place. And that's how I saw him. So then if you see him like that, you're not going to be too anxious to say, well, I'm sorry I did this and I did that and I shouldn't have done that and I want forgiveness. You know, it's like it's somebody that's judgmental, maybe not real loving and merciful and kind, you know. That was before I really came to know who he was. That was when I had a religion, not a relationship, and that's how I saw him. And that's back before pre-Vatican II, kind of the way he was presented in Catholic school where I went. Now I realize that that's not him at all. Now I realize that he is a loving, gracious, happy to see you come to repent, wanting to forgive, wanting to cleanse you, wanting you to live righteously, wanting what's best for you. So when we see him that way, That's where the joy comes in. That's where we know that we can be forgiven. That's where we know we can live close to Him. That's where we know not only does He forgive, but He cleanses us of the stain of the wrongdoing. And then as Catholics, of course, there's the sacrament. You do this in your prayer time. If you feel a need for the sacrament of reconciliation, then you know it's listed in the bulletin for every week. And then the priest then is taking the place of Jesus at that time. You know, so the priest will be understanding and bring the Lord's mercy and bring the Lord's love. So this is something you might want to just jot down regarding your attitude and how do you see it? You know, because if you do dread it, it's something that certainly the Lord would want to change. Now, I used to get hung up on this firm purpose of amendment business that we were taught. If any of you else remember, one of the ways of repenting where you have to have a firm purpose of amendment. And that means you're not going to do it again. You're saying, you know, I'm going to do my best not to do that again. Remember, the Lord's mercies are new every day. So you confess your sin, you try, and you do it again. That happens. You go right back to the Lord. You confess your sin. He will see you just as if He had never given you mercy before, just as if, you know, He knows you're trying, He knows your heart, and He will forgive you and again cleanse you of any stain of unrighteousness. So that's important to remember. Repentance requires a willingness to change. That's the whole idea. So we say, I'm willing to change. I'm willing to let this go. I'm willing to let this relationship go. I'm willing to let this habit go. I'm willing to let this, whatever it is, the language that I use, any of those kind of things that aren't in accordance with the Word of God, we're willing to let it go. We're willing to change. But remember what we said earlier, change brings us new beginnings. New beginnings. And then those new beginnings are of the Lord. And those new beginnings are filled with His love and with His care and with His tenderness and with His mercy. So a question would be, what am I holding on to in my life that I don't want to change? Yet, I know it's not aligned with the Lord's word. I think all of us at one point or time have something like this. What am I holding on to in my life that I don't want to change? Yet I know is not aligned with the Lord's word. Again, this reminds me of a teaching I heard years back. And it was a true story. Names were changed to protect the innocent and the not so innocent. This lady was having a lot of trouble with her husband and they weren't getting along. And so she came to this counselor and she's talking all about him, you know. Always pointing the finger out, never pointing the finger in, and saying how, what he was doing and what he was saying, and she just couldn't stand up, yet she was very depressed and she was very nervous and she was on medication and so forth. And the counselor said to her, well, what's your part in this? Well, what are you doing in this? What do you need to change in this? Because, you know, there's always two. And she said, it's not me. It's him. It's him. And the counselor said to her, would you rather be right or would you rather be well? And I think that's so important. In other words, would you rather be right, hold on to the fact that it's not you, it's him, and just live in that anxiety and live in that resentment and so forth that you have for him? Or do you want to work through that, let that go, and be well? So I think that applies here when we talk about what am I holding on to that I don't want to change? Yet I know it's not really the best thing that the Lord has for me. It's not really aligned with His word. And to me, that story you know, do you want to be right or do you want to be well, really fits with that. And something I think for all of us to really look at, you know, when we come before the Lord for his mercy and for repentance. And repentance is making a commitment to the Lord to invest myself in his plan and purposes. So we want to, and this is all for us to jot down so we can, things we feel like the Lord would want us to work on. You know, what in your life hinders that commitment? What is it present in our life that hinders our commitment from investing ourselves in the Lord and his plan and his purposes for us? Because we know that the Lord tells us that he does have a plan for us. And it's a plan for our welfare, not for woe. It's a plan to give us a future full of hope. And when we come to him, he will be with us and he will see us through. So, anybody have any questions that they want to ask regarding that? Okay. Okay, so what we're going to do now is just close with prayer. And let's see, we're good. We're going to go right into our next teaching.